Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to episode 246 of A Wild Podcast Has Appeared, the official Pokemon podcast of comicbook.com. I am one of your hosts, joined today by Christian Hoffer and not Megan Peter. She's not feeling well. She got other stuff she got to do. She'll be back next week. Hello, Christian.
Hello. I am here. And, you know, it's a little bit of a shame because we have some anime stuff to talk about.
We do have some anime stuff to talk about. We have some Logan Paul stuff to talk about. He has found his way back into the world of Pokemon once more. But first, let's get some of the business out of the way. If you are looking for a Pokemon podcast, buckle up, strap in. This is going to be a show for you. We talk about all things Pokemon, games, anime stuff, Pokemon and pop culture, all that fun stuff. Then we take a break. We do a deep dive in the second half of the show, and then we do a Pokemon fact of the week at the end of the show. Good times are had by all. Tangents usually happen somewhere in the beginning of the show, middle of the show, and end of the show. So it's just a thing that happens. So just buckle in. We promise you'll have some fun. Trying to think of any kind of good housekeeping things that we have to take care of. Not so much. Oh, the Discord, obviously. Make sure if you're looking for a community to get involved with, you love Pokemon, you're trying to find other people who love Pokemon, the Discord for the show can be found in the podcast description, the episode description, and in a pinned link over on X. We're really just waiting for this Pokemon Day thing to just happen. Like, it really can't come soon enough.
It is, you know, I think the world is waiting on Pokemon Day to happen because, you know, it's like the harbinger for what could be a very monumental year in gaming in general, as detailed by our new, you know, weekly gaming podcast, Quick Save, which can be found over on the Comic Book Nation feed. Look at that. That's a plug right there, my friends.
That was very nice.
Thank you. Look how natural that was. But, you know, with the whole Pokemon Day, like the thing is like Nintendo hasn't announced whatever it's doing for this year. There's no like even Nintendo Direct that's been announced yet.
Right.
So I think we all
were of the thought that a Nintendo Direct would happen first.
They're running out of time. My only thought is, so Pokemon Day this year falls on a Tuesday. Tuesdays are usually directs take place on a Wednesday, like the Nintendo Directs. Mm-hmm. But hear me out. What if for Pokemon Day, instead of a Pokemon Direct, Nintendo and Pokemon announce that they're both doing a thing together, and they announce the Switch 2 and then announce a Pokemon game that will be one of the launch titles for it?
So like that's, you think, fine. But like which one happens first?
Well, they'll do it all on February 27th.
Oh, all on the same day.
One day that would be. I mean, I'm not saying that's a realistic standpoint, but everyone thought this announcement was coming. And like, you know, the rest of us can't move on with our year until we know. I mean,
you're not wrong.
And then there's Xbox lurking in the wings, you know, and, you know, they're just like, yeah, no, we're going to just release all the games for all the platforms. Hey, Nintendo, would you like one Call of Duty game? Would you like a Starfield? Would you like? I don't actually know what other games come out for the Xbox.
Gears of War.
Not many, apparently.
Could you imagine Gears of War on the Xbox on the Switch?
God, it would just catch things on fire. Like Switches would literally just trying to handle it.
That's what I mean. We're getting to a point where the Switch is, it's old. It's an old system.
It is. It's 7 years old. It's barely a year. It's like only like a year and a half older or younger than my child. It's older than 2/3 of my kids. But let's provide some context for the Nintendo Switch. I don't know how we went on this rant, but I guess it's because it's me and you. So the Nintendo Switch, it came out in March of 2016, 2017, something like that, 2016. But I remember it very clearly because the Nintendo Switch showed up on my porch. And like the very next day, we drove down to Nashville to meet the comicbook.com team.
Wow.
We really got to play on the Switch on the drive to Nashville. And that was like, I don't even think my son was a year old at the time.
No.
Because I remember it was March. It was definitely March because it was far colder than I thought it would be.
Yeah. No, I mean, look, it's such a weird thing. And I don't. 7 years sounds like a long time, but also not a long time. But but I think in handheld years.
Oh, it's ancient.
It's ancient.
Yeah. I mean,
because technology is especially on a handheld front, is moving so fast that a lot of the standalone consoles kind of can build in that buffer time-wise, right?
Yeah.
And it always feels like the Nintendo handhelds are not starting out as far at, or like ahead or behind as they could be, in a sense. Like it, even when a new Nintendo system comes out, it still feels a little bit last gen, even when you compare it to the desktop consoles, right?
Nintendo moves at its own pace.
It does. It moves at its own pace. But even because of that, I think now that technology is growing, evolving so fast, that I think that the time frame on that stuff makes it look more dated sometimes than it is.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. And that's like ultimately, I mean, I think like, you know,
look, you've got that PlayStation Portal device.
Yeah.
That looks incredible.
Well, it's like I can play. I mean, I at this point in time, like now I can stream my PlayStation 5 on my phone.
Which is kind of wild.
Yeah, and that's
the downloaded thing. For funsies, Death Stranding on my iPhone.
That's amazing. Well, that's ultimately the thing, and you know, I guess we're just doing the long talk about consoles right now. I think that, you know, in some ways, the almost, you know, the Switch has done so well with its limited capabilities, and I think
100%.
And I think it is in part because, you know, it you know, kind of like confines things a little bit more, and you always get a lot more originality when you have restrictions. You know, that's like one of those like big, I don't know, sayings about creativity and stuff like that. Like, you know, limitations, you know, help inspire creativity or something like that. You know, I think it's done really well for a long time. I think the problem is that Nintendo, you know, it doesn't need to make these like crazy games and stuff like that. But I think, like, you know, they just keep needing to like upgrade their hardware, in part because they like having third party publishers put stuff on their game, you know, consoles.
Sure.
They don't want the only 12 games that you buy on a Nintendo Switch to be the 12 games that Nintendo and the Pokemon company put out in a year. And that's what really limits them. Because, you know, like all the new Mario games that Nintendo's put out in the last like 6 months, they all look freaking great on the Switch. You know,
they do.
No problems there, but they're simple games made for children that can be enjoyed by adults. which right. coincidentally describes the Pokemon franchise.
Right. No, but it's, but again, right. But like, it's just so interesting that like, look, at the same time, like Nintendo, like, I think these Mario, the Mario game, I say Mario, the Mario, whatever.
Oh God, you.
It's fine.
You and your Long Island, you know,
these, pronunciations. I think the Mario game is a perfect example of how Nintendo, like, they need to make sure that their franchises mm-hmm. remain relevant and fed. And you can't, yeah. And I think the new Wonder game, I think it is great, right? I yeah. love it. It's a ton of fun, but it's not the open world kind of platformer that fans have come to love, you know, year in and year out. Right. Or not year in, but like, you know, in its regular intervals. And yeah. there's a lot of those franchises that Nintendo fan, like the, you know, in either like even like older Nintendo fans like us want that we just kind of like, but like now I don't want it now. I want the Nintendo Switch 2 first. And then, okay, yeah. give me another Star Fox game. Give me. You know, like, I mean, we haven't had a Star Fox game in forever, right? But like,
yeah, we haven't.
What, yeah, I mean, you know, everyone keeps clamoring for an F-Zero game. I don't know how many people really want an F-Zero game.
No one really wants
an F-Zero game. But like, I wouldn't mind a reimagined take on F-Zero in a sense, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. Like, even if it's not the number one best-selling game of all time, it's still like a pretty cool classic franchise in a sense that. I feel like Nintendo is leaving to die on the vine.
So Nintendo's big problem is with a lot of these franchises, and we see this with Pokemon too. Like, you know, sure. we talk about all the time with these Pokemon spinoff games. They didn't make a new Pokemon Snap, and like that Pokemon Snap printed money right. for Nintendo back in the day and the Pokemon sure company. Did. There was literally no reason why we needed to wait 20 years, 20 years for the next one, other mm-hmm. than the fact that they didn't want to just keep doing the same thing with it.
Sure.
You know, the only franchise that we, you know, there's only two franchises that Nintendo just keeps putting out, you know, quite frankly, more of the same. And that is Mario. But I wasn't going to say Metroid. Pokemon is the other one. You know, Pokemon is, okay. you know, they release an almost yeah. yearly cadence. And while there are innovations within that game, they really aren't trying to break the mold. So right. to speak, other than when they do. And we've seen like a lot of innovation, like Zelda. So, you know, Zelda is kind of a, you know, interesting in that, you know, Zelda
feels like the only franchise that continues to evolve and grow, where these other, the other, yeah. like even Pokemon and Mario to an extent, right? Like the core of the game is the same. And even Zelda, I mean, the core of Zelda is the same.
But of Zelda is the same. You can do different things with Zelda. Like the Zelda franchise is more than just one specific style of game. There's a few sure. different ways you can go. Like lately they've done the big open world stuff, but you know, they can do the top down model. They can do,
but the Zelda games are the most narrative of the Nintendo games. Like, yeah. there is a narrative in Pokemon. There's a narrative, you know, in the Mario games, but Zelda is a games. Different narrative experience.
Oh yeah. Like, you know, that
like it's
that
a narrative experience that you expect from a game on PlayStation or Xbox in a sense.
Yeah. Probably not quite that much. Like, you know, like half the time when I put on a freaking PlayStation game, like a AAA PlayStation game, sure. I'm basically watching a movie that has some gameplay attached.
Sure.
Like, you know, it kind of drives me nuts, to be blunt. Like, you know, one of the things, like, I don't mind it for Pokemon where I don't sure. like get an option not to bully Kieran into becoming a supervillain. Right. You know, like that's fine because again, these are games made for 10-year-olds. But when yeah. I'm like you know, what's her face from Horizon, like, and it's like, you know, I don't get a choice in any of the things that I do.
That's
like true. Other than when it's an open world experience except for the plot. There's no, you know, like, you know, that's, and I think that's one of the reasons why we're really just going on this tangent.
We're way off.
Baldur's Gate 3, the reason why I think Baldur's Gate 3 totally overshadowed Zelda, you know, yep. Zelda Tears of the Kingdom was fantastic, but it was a true Breath of the Wild sequel. Yep. It was the yep. same game that we got with Breath of the Wild, which was endlessly innovative and even a more refined version of that game. I loved it.
Sure.
But the reason people took to Baldur's Gate 3 so much is because there was actually narrative choices in a way that we don't see that in AAA open world style games anymore. Final Fantasy, we're getting a Final Fantasy VII Rebirth game or whatever the new Final Fantasy VII is. It will be a fantastic movie. I will enjoy it. I will enjoy the second act of that movie, and I'll push the buttons when they tell me to push the buttons. But I have no narrative option there. Like, Cloud's going to do what Cloud's going to do, and I'm just along for the ride.
Games like Mass Effect and things like that, we haven't gotten one in a while, but like, those are games that not entirely on rails, that whose choices matter and things like that. I like that effect. Like, so like, I just played through, I ripped through Mortal Kombat 1, and that was basically a movie with fight scenes, and then you play the fight scenes basically.
And I
loved it. I thought that was great. But not every game needs to be that, right? Like, that's the reason. Yeah. That's actually the biggest reason why I don't play Horizon Forever Dawn or whatever whichever one this one's named is because mainly because that story interests me zero. Zip zitch. And so like, I know like that's what that game is going to be. I'm just not going to play it.
Yeah. The most interesting thing about Horizon Zero Dawn and its sequel is when I have there's no plot. Like, when I'm just running around like murdering robots mostly murdering robots. It's a fun game. It's a really fun game. I enjoy the heck just blasting the heck out of robots with my stick. And occasionally I like to go and jam it into them and turn a couple of screws, and suddenly the monster's on my side. But when they turn that into the plot and they're like, by the way, you're a clone, I'm like, I don't care. Shut up. Where's the robots at?
All right. Let's bring it back. Let's bring it back to some Pokemon stuff. Anyway, a very long way to say, like, right, like, we started here and we went all the way basically to come back to the other side of this to say, where's the Nintendo Direct? We need it.
Maybe this is
a hype thing, right? Maybe we are setting the bar too high, but it feels to me that if there is no new system announced before Pokemon Day, anything Pokemon announces will ultimately feel like a letdown.
Yeah, no, I agree.
They're cagey about it, even if they say, here's the next new Pokemon game, and we don't know what it's coming out on, even if they say like it's coming out on the Switch, and then maybe we get a Switch 2 announcement, and they're like, oh, by the way, this Pokemon game is going to be there. To me, you lost all the sizzle. Yeah. You need it.
I'll go one step farther. For every week they don't announce a new Nintendo platform, we will go on increasingly deranged rants about video games. Totally nutso stuff.
But that's the thing. I think, like I said, at its core, the thing I'm worried the most about Pokemon Day is that we don't have a new platform for these new games to be announced for.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be great. We're going to get a look at the anime stuff. We may get some anime news. We may get some mobile game news. We're going to get freaking Pokemon Masters news and a Unite update and all the same stuff that we're used to getting. And that is all great. All great. But I need to know the future. I need to know what's coming. I need something to look forward to. We've already gone through, and we've passed. The Scarlet and Violet era is over.
It is.
It's over. And so I need something to get excited about, something to look forward to, little bits and pieces there. And I know, it sounds like I feel like I'm being like whiny and entitled. I just want to look forward to something. For Pokemon. And I just want it to be good. That's all.
I think it will. We haven't had a week Pokemon Day in.
No, we haven't. And that's why I think the bar keeps getting raised a tiny bit with each one we get. And that's why I'm just like, well, I hope we get something. All right, let's get back to the news. Pokemon Sleep, Pokemon Go both have Valentine's Day events.
Yes. So Pokemon Sleep's event, features a bunch of Pokemon who apparently... So the theme of this one is really weird. Okay. So it features boosted spawns, a Bulbasaur, Jigglypuff, Slowpoke, Pinsir, Chikorita, and Absol. And the reason why they picked those six specific Pokemon is because those Pokemon all generate ingredients that help you sleep or that make desserts. And so this week's theme is desserts. And then they want to give you Pokemon to go with desserts. I'm like, I'm not 100% sure how this is all a Pokemon Sleep thing. How this relates to Valentine's Day, but good for you, Pokemon Sleep. I don't have an Absol or a Pinsir yet, so I'm all for it. As for Pokemon Go, their Valentine's Day their event, it's like the usual event, to be blunt. It's like, oh, well, you know, they're doing it. And it is. Give me a second. I'm pulling it up now. Where is the Pokemon? So it is the Carnival of Love. They're basically adding shiny Oricorio because they certainly have not run out of things to do in this game. So they have love discs. And you can get some love disc stuff. And there is a new tambourine pose where your trainer can get a love disc shaped tambourine, which, of course, looks like a heart, and they shake it. Also, if you live in Brazil, you get twice the XP for catching Pokemon because it's a carnival. And apparently those only exist in Brazil. Not really.
I don't know if you've seen video of like carnivals in Brazil. They go pretty hard.
I mean, you know, I go pretty hard too. Where's my double XP for catching Pokemon? Just throwing that one out there.
Buying a lemonade and a funnel cake does not mean you go hard at carnivals, Christian.
I'll take my shirt off. I'll do it.
I just got this email in a nice little newsy headline kind of thing. Palworld has lost more than half of its viewers in the past 2 weeks. Surprising absolutely nobody.
I am shocked. Shocked. A fad? You mean to tell me that Palworld is a fad? The reason why, so like, I guarantee the reason Nintendo didn't take like any like action on this one
is because they knew this would happen.
There's no like, and I saw something where it's like the people who make Palworld are like, we have no staff. We built this with like 25 people. They want updates. We can't give it to them. Please come and work for us. We have money now. It's like, oh man, we're going to get like the freaking like Elden Ring DLC before we get like a Palworld update. Like there was no roadmap. I'm glad that people got a fun survival game for 2 weeks.
Right.
And
Then everyone moved on to what's the new game that everyone's playing on PlayStation and
isn't it called like Devil Riders 2 or something like that?
No, Hell Rises 2, Hell
something. Yeah, I like Devil Riders. I like that a lot more. It's like the most generic sounding name. I saw that like during
and the fact that it's like a sequel, I didn't even know the first one existed.
That was like my thought too.
Helldivers. That's what it's called. Helldivers. That's it.
Man.
It was like a 90s image book.
God, someone needs to like release a new console, or Xbox needs to put out a game, like literally any game at this point. Like release something, Microsoft, for the first time in 3 years. Like, please, we're begging you.
Real quick, just to kind of showcase some of the numbers. Looks like the viewing numbers have dropped more than 65% from a staggering average of 184,000 people at the game's peak to a little over 50,000 people. If you compare it to an hours watched thing, people watched 53 million hours of it to a mere 18 million. Look, 18 million, nothing to sneeze at, but still it's like that is much less from the hype. So there it is. There is your Pal World update for the week. Christian, talk to me about Tandem Mouse and Mousehold only if it's suitable for work.
It is. Okay. So this in a recent episode of the Pokemon anime that has yet to air in the United States.
It's because no episodes of the anime have aired in the United States.
Side note, before we dive into this, Pokemon Journeys is apparently no longer leaving Netflix.
Oh, look at that. So, they found the money.
Good news. You know, the national nightmare is over. Pokemon Journeys will continue on Netflix for the at least the foreseeable future.
Must have just been an accounting error or something.
It was probably just they type in the date. Like, that's an anime thing, like those flags are. And it was probably legit. Like, you know, they hadn't renewed it yet, probably because they just didn't think about it.
Yep.
But so in a recent episode, the episode involved somebody finding a one half of a Tandem Mouse. Because, you know, Tandem Mouse. And so the Pokedex identifies it as a Tandem Mouse. And so, you know, the main characters go into a cave. They find the other half of the Tandem Mouse. But the two Tandem Mouse, or singular Tandem Mouse, seem to be very concerned. And that's because it turns out it wasn't a Tandem Mouse. It was a Mousehold. Now, here's the weird thing about it. The Pokedex could not differentiate between Tandem Mouse and Mousehold until all the Mousehold were put together. Which raises the question, how do you classify a Pokemon? Like, you always sort of had that with, like, Dugtrio.
But I thought a Mousehold included smaller ones.
They do. But apparently, if you take
but like they the could they ones, could potentially be like mommy, if, mommy Mousehold could be at work, or and daddy Mousehold could be at home, and one of the Mousehold children can be at school, and the other one is still at
much
home.
More pleasant things. These are small rodent creatures, Jim, and we have covered like 150 Pokemon species, and we're not even a third of the way through the Pokedex that would just like straight up like eat these things. Like, apparently, all it takes is for like one little Mousehold to get like Watership downed, and you know, Mousehold devolves back into Tandem Mouse. Like, there's like legitimate like de-evolution like in play here. All it takes is one tragedy, one child's like young adult novel away from de-evolution happening. Or actually, because it's the kid dying, this would probably be like, I guess this would be like an adult novel, because
I only have the Mousehold with two kids.
Yeah.
How do you get the Mousehold with just one kid?
It's random.
Or you have like a bird of prey in your party.
Yeah, but your freaking Talonflame gets hungry.
Oh,
like, man, can you just imagine in the Pokemon world?
Hold on. Well, let me ask. Like, so wait, were you able to see like screenshots or whatever of it?
Yeah, they're individual Pokemon.
Okay, but some of the one half of the Tandem Mouse has like the blue coloring on the top, and then the other Tandem Mouse has the coloring on the bottom.
Is that true? I thought there was
this thing, like one wears a shirt and one wears pants.
I've never noticed that. Holy smokes.
And so like were they two Tandem Mouse that were both wearing pants? And if that's the case, then like they can't be either Tandem Mouse or a Mousehold, or like
crazy. I literally never noticed that these things aren't just a bunch of lazy white mice.
No.
Wow. They have colors to it. What does a shiny Tandem Mouse look like?
Oh, I don't know. That's a good question. I don't think there are shiny Tandem Mouse.
They are. They're cream colored instead of like blue colored. My mind is blown. I've like run into these things like a billion times while.
Oh, wow. That is. It barely indistinguishable the shiny versus the non-shiny. Holy moly.
Just amazing.
So yeah, anyway.
Yeah. So just wild questions about what defines a Pokemon.
Right.
And specifically an individual Pokemon. Like, you know, what happens like when like a Phalanx Like, what happens if one of the phalanx gets, like, injured in battle and can't go on? Like, what happens when, one individual unit of a phalanx, like, loses a leg? You know?
Like, what if you lose an execute?
Yeah. Like, yeah. Like, those things are eggs. Like, a half of them are cracked already. What happens if somebody decides to make an execute omelet? Like, a Charmander just walks around, walks along, and is like, I'm in the mood for, like, Sunny Side Up.
Like, can you still be an execute if you're only two execute?
Yeah. These are really strange.
You have to get adopted into another.
Maybe that's what happens, is they like, you know, like, have to, like, merge, kind of like a survivor tribe.
What would you call a group of execute?
An execute. It's always singular. There's no plurals. they just continue to grow. Like, there was once, like, you know, seven individual eggs, and, like, now there's, like, a freaking poultry farm's worth. Also, the weird thing about execute, I guess another side note, it always weirded me out that they're like, oh, by the way, these are just coconut equivalents. I'm like, wait, what? Like, they're eggs.
It is very weird that they go from eggs to coconuts. Like, I don't,
like, this makes that, no
I
sense.
Never I 1000% never understood, because very clearly, like, okay, you could make the claim if there wasn't an execute that was cracked and you saw its brains and guts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, if they were just cracked oval shaped things that then inevitably go up into the coconut tree that is Executor, then okay, fine. Then they're weird Pokemon world coconuts. That look nothing like regular coconuts. Fine. But when you're showing the guts of an execute, you can't say they're coconuts.
Yeah. No, it makes no...
Because then are the giant executor heads, like, are those just, are like, those ostrich eggs?
It's really... Yeah, like, that's a thing. It's bizarre to think about. Execute is a strange Pokemon. Like, I like Alolan execute, executor, because there's no such thing as Alolan. But they need to fix that. They need to turn those things into coconuts, like, stat. Like, fix it. You know what, actually? So, you know, like, we've talked about, like, how Pokemon Black and White, like, basically tried to, like, do a reset of the Pokemon franchise. And they're like, right, actually, you know, when you go to the Unova, you know, you can't play with any of the, like, old Pokemon until after you beat the game.
Right.
I would love it if they went and did, like, a Pokemon game where it's like, we're going back to the Kanto region again, but we've redesigned all the Pokemon. Like, you know, like, you know, like, just, you know, like, I don't know. If, like, I just think, like, you know, it would be cool if, like, they just kind of, like, you know, because, like, the Pokemon designs have evolved so much. Like, sometimes you look at some, like, the first gen ones and you're just, like, kind of, like, disappointed. Like, Seal and Dugong, like, wouldn't it be great if you gave them, like, if they got, like, redesigned, like, you know, like, do like variants, like, do a Pokemon game where it's, like, either, like, alternate reality Kanto and, like, do more freaking, like, regional variants or something like that. Instead of regional variants, make it like, oh yeah, in this you know, like, alternate timeline, like, I don't know, like, Charmander got an eye patch or something like that.
That's you know what that's called, Christian? That's called Pow World.
You all guns.
What you're asking for, the thing that you want, that's called Pow World.
I don't know, like, you know, just give me an alternate universe, change the colors just a little bit, not too much. I'll make them recognizable. Give them all guns. And also add a survival element. That's all I want.
Pokemon Scarlet and Violet is the third best-selling game in the franchise ever. Behind what?
Yeah, glad that Megan's not here to rant about this. It's official. Pokemon can do no wrong. Like, they put out a mediocre Pokemon game and it still just shoots up the charts. I think, though, the reason why Scarlet and Violet performed so well, it's that critical mass sort of thing. Like, it's kind of like, if they ever release a Pokemon game for the Wii, that game would have sold so many stinking units.
Yeah,
like, you know, and it's just because everyone has a Switch.
But I think we're at a point now in a world now where every new Pokemon game is going to be
because
best-selling Pokemon games.
And it's because they made the Switch to the main consoles. Well, I mean, sure. They didn't have a choice. Nintendo did away with hand.
But I use wrestling as an example where, like, for the last 5 years, they've been saying, like, this is the biggest WrestleMania ever. Like, yeah, no, yeah, of course it is. Like, yeah, just you know, like, yeah, it's like we've reached that point where it has just gotten bigger and bigger. Unless the franchise gets a heart attack, like it's just going to keep growing. The audience is going to be there and it's going to be bigger and bigger and bigger. It's more fascinating to me that, I mean, what isn't like Silver and Gold? Like, they're the ones that are like, that's number two still.
That's number two. And I don't
think that's wild.
Yeah. So, and I think they have sales graph. Give me a second. So, I'm trying to pull up. So, I don't have the charts have not been like, you know, actually, Gold and Silver is not.
No, really?
Sword and Shield is.
Sword and Shield is number two.
Yeah.
So, Gold and Silver is number four then?
Four, yeah. So,
in fact, and then I assume Red and Blue is number one.
Yes, by a sizable amount.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. This all came out because, you know, they do the Nintendo released its quarterly, updates. Earnings. And as part of that, they list all the like the notable games and the sales of those notable games. And so 24.36 million units. So it is, it officially passed Gold and Silver as the third best-selling Pokemon game after just 13 months. So depending on, maybe this is why they haven't announced the Switch 2 yet. They're going to see if, like, you know, Scarlet and Violet can pass Sword and Shield.
Sword and Shield.
Yeah. So that's the entire reason why. They just want to see how long, you know, they can keep this thing going.
It's not happening.
And what's really crazy about that is, you know, keep in mind that over the last 13 months, we've got the DLC too.
Yeah.
And we'll talk more about the DLC another time, because there's some like interesting things that came out of the metagame, like the VGC, that's, you know, all about the DLC, and people are complaining about it. because of course they are. But, you know, like that doesn't even include like the DLC sales.
Right. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Does Sword and Shield include the DLC sales?
No. It also doesn't include the sword. Those numbers are
just the game. Right. Yeah. Okay. No, that makes sense. All right. Let's take a quick break. When we get back, we're talking about Logan Paul trying to buy a Pokemon Unite Championship, it looks like. All that and more when we're back in 60 seconds.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Okie dokie.
Okay, so let's talk about Logan Paul again.
Logan Paul got into Unite.
So, yeah, so this all happened over the weekend. Now, the hilarious thing about all of this is that this may or may not be an ad.
Did you see the community? Yeah, I was going to say. Okay, so here's what happened. So here's basically what happened. Logan Paul puts out a tweet that says, "Oh my gosh, I just got into Pokemon Unite. I'm obsessed. I want to find a team to compete with competitively. Tag me if you're good, and like we'll be in touch." And there is a community note on the tweet that says, "Undisclosed ads are not allowed on the platform," but the tweet is still up.
Probably because, well, either one, it's because Twitter likely doesn't have any sort of way of enforcing that now because they fired everybody. So that's possible. It's also possible that, you know, since Logan Paul, you know, maybe Elon Musk likes Logan Paul's content, and so it just ignores it.
Right. Any number of reasons why it could still be there.
But, or, you know, maybe it's just, you know, I, you know, over the weekend, I got banned from Reddit for 30 days for not doing anything. Literally did nothing and got banned. And like eventually got rescinded. But you know, it could be one of those cases too. Who knows? Sure.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
The really freaking hilarious part about this is if you are a legitimate, truly competitive Lorcana player, or not Lorcana,
Unite
player, you do not have a win rate of 80%. You only get win rates of 80% when you are playing against bots. So yeah. Like he is playing ranked, but he is still low enough in ranked that he's just playing a bunch of bots and like scoring some easy victories. So everyone's like dunking on him for like, yeah, if you have an 80% win rate, it's like, so you're going to go and play with a bunch of like not actually competitive players and just get smoked by actual teams. Please go ahead. But more concerningly, it is the fact that, you know, Logan Paul has once again turned his like eye of Sauron upon the Pokemon community. And it means that we could get stuck with him. And like he could obnoxiously show up because this year the Pokemon World Championships are in Hawaii, which is not, you know, a country that he's probably been travel banned from. You know, so we could conceivably get Logan Paul showing up at the World Championships. And it's like, way to ruin a Hawaiian vacation.
It's funny, though. He also turned off the replies.
Probably because it's an ad.
So everyone's, I mean, probably because he didn't want to get roasted, but everyone's roasting him in the quote tweets.
Yeah, it's just. Is obnoxious. Like, this is such a, you know, like double-edged sword, because on the one side, it would be nice, you know, like Unite is a fun game. It deserves more attention, and it just doesn't get it because of the fact that it's like a secondary Pokemon title.
Right.
So it would be pretty cool, you know, if, you know, interests were like redrawn to this game. Like, I think that would be a net positive. On the negative side, we're talking about Logan Paul here. Is anything that Logan Paul does, you know, truly good besides like healing it up in a wrestling ring? I don't think so.
Like, and that's like, right. Like this thing, it's like, things like this always give me pause because the man just either cannot intentionally stop scamming people or unintentionally scamming people. Right.
Yeah.
Like it becomes a question of, does he just have terrible people around him? Probably. Yes. Or is he making his own terrible decisions? Also probably. Right. Yeah. But like where it's a little more okay to accept him in wrestling because he has no control over that.
Well, and also, like, to be honest, like Logan Paul's particular brand of I can't even use the particular word because we'd get, you know,
right. Correct.
Family out. Show. But you know, his particular brand is like the 10th like most offensive thing
correct.
In the WWE. Yeah,
absolutely.
Like it doesn't even like crack the top five.
I mean, look, there is no doubting the kind of branding and attention that Logan Paul can bring things, right? My daughter has almost no idea who Logan Paul is other than he's the dude who made Prime, and Prime is cool, and like that's basically it, right?
Yeah.
Speaking of, for the adults listening, if you have not watched the most recent South Park special on Paramount Plus, it's good. There's a they do a spoof on Prime. It's called Cred. It's very funny.
Man, a wild podcast has appeared, has just gone full bore into like cross promotion this week. Like, you know, like we're promoting our other podcasts.
So here's the thing. Paramount I would have to imagine if Logan got serious and did this, this brings a new level of eyeballs to Pokemon Unite. And like I say, that's where like I don't put it past this maybe being an ad. Although yeah. Logan Paul feels way more outside the box for the Pokemon company to be spending ad dollars than anything else.
Well, right? And that's like the other thing is the only reason why I think this might be like, so there's two things.
Oh, because
like,
the Pokemon company may not be paying for it. It may be
the
developer.
Yeah. It's almost certainly like if someone's paying money for it, it's not the Pokemon company. Pokemon company doesn't want Logan Paul. Like,
right.
You know, that's the thing. Like he's like persona non grata in Japan. Right. Like, yeah. So like Pokemon company wants nothing to do with them, but Timi, a Chinese company with, you know, lots and lots of money, right. And probably paid a lot of money to license this thing from, you know,
the Pokemon company,
probably does have the money and is willing to spend it, especially if like the audience for Pokemon Unite is starting to stagnate a little bit, because I'll be honest, outside of a couple of like very dedicated content creators that like, you know, I follow on Pokemon Unite, I don't see anybody talk about it anymore.
I used to be a very heavy Pokemon Unite player.
Yeah.
And I have not played in a while. More so, I think, because I to be totally honest, like I'm scared to go back into it because I feel like I've been out of it enough cycles that I have no idea what the meta is. I feel too out of touch with what the current heartbeat of the game is that like, if I go in with my nine tails, I'm going to get, you know, dunked.
Yeah. Well, the game does. The problem is basically since Mewtwo got, put into the game has basically like power creeped hard where it's like, you know, everyone has a Mewtwo, everyone has a Zacian. Like I think like the mascots from Scarlet and Violet are coming to the game soon, and I'm sure they're going to be OP for two weeks and then like get nerfed. And, you know, so I think they have like a power creep issue that they haven't figured out how to fix yet. And until they do, I think there's, you know, that's going to be the big problem for the game. I also think that the game is like in desperate need of a new map. I mean, it's been 2 years.
Yeah. It needs a pretty big kind of like overhaul period. Right. Like, and if it's like, if not, this is where we kind of get into a discussion that I will try and keep short about the idea of live service games. Right. Mm-hmm. Is it better for us to get Pokemon Unite 2 or for them to try and like keep updating Pokemon Unite in a way that may be unsustainable?
Look what happened with like other games that have done like, you know, done that though. Like Overwatch 2.
Pokken, right? Isn't that? Yeah.
Well, Pokken didn't do it. Pokken wasn't a live service game.
I guess I thought we got two different, like we got two Pokken.
No. They did not release a bunch of arcade content. For Pokken, the original Pokken. And when it got re-released for the Switch, they released all that, added on all the arcade content. I guess it was a little bit of a live service game from the arcade standpoint,
sure.
In Japan, but like Overwatch is what I always look at. Compare Overwatch to League of Legends. Like League of Legends, they've slowed down their content, but they're still releasing it. It's still very stable, very popular, insanely popular. And then you have Overwatch, which was doing great until Overwatch 2 got released. Mm-hmm. And that game crashed and burned, and I don't think that franchise will ever recover. Mm-hmm. Like, it's gone, which is, like, crazy to think about. Because, like,
I've never played League of Legends, but is there... Like, there's an ongoing story there, though, isn't it? Like, it's got lore. Oh, really? It's really just, so like, some people into the battlefield and go?
Yeah, so, like, the lore is, like, very static. Like, Arcane... even Arcane, like basically, like defined, like basically established like the origin stories for a lot of these characters. Like there's like little teases of stuff, like kind of in between the lines. Again, similar to like what Overwatch did, but like League of Legends, like the actual like meta of it. And like there was no like evolving storyline, like what you'd see from like Warcraft or, I'm trying to like games like that.
I wonder if Unite started to vault character. Well, I guess you can't do that because people pay for them, but like it would be more interesting if so that way like the roster wasn't a million D big, you vaulted some and released new instead of like really heavily release for everyone in to come out kind of thing, and like until you kind of build back up again and almost have a completely different roster, which then I think would feel like almost like a completely different game.
Yeah.
I don't know, but you can't do that because people pay for certain characters.
Yeah. That's the issue. Now you could do like seasons, which they do seasons, but you could do like a limited play format where it's like only these 15 Pokemon are can be used in the game, or something like that. But I don't know how popular that type of thing would be, for like the League of Legends style games.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I think limited formats work in some types of games, but I don't know if it really works for that because you're basically, like handicapping yourself and, you know, almost assuredly because you have the overall power creep problem, you know, you're if your limited includes recent Pokemon, which why wouldn't it? You're just going to use the new ones.
So Logan Paul coming to Pokemon Unite, pretty much a non-issue. Let's see what happens.
I guess we'll just have to wait and see. Maybe we'll get an announcement on Pokemon Day.
I realized that I had a different tab opened on the chat and I only had the private chat open, that General Code at one point said that there may be a Nintendo Direct coming on the 15th as well. We'll see.
At this point in time, we just wait every single day.
At
10:01 a.m., we get disappointed they have not announced it.
General Code also asking, hey, since Pokemon Day is the day after the weekly podcast, are you going to move Monday's episode for that week or wait to discuss it? We have talked about just doing another bonus episode where we may do a shorter episode. Where like maybe it's just the news on Monday. Mm-hmm. And then I think our plan is to either do a watch along with it as it happens and then launch into the show to break it all down as soon as it's over. So once we get more details on, you know, the timing and all that, we'll put that out there. But for Pokemon Day, that feels justified enough to do two episodes in that week. But just know that Monday's episode will probably be shorter. Or it may be a totally long tangent episode, kind of like today's was, accidentally.
You know, I had fun.
Well, I feel like we had very good, insightful discussion, so I'm okay with that. That's totally fine. All right, let's do the Pokemon fact of the week.
Well, I don't even know. Remember what the... Oh, Cricket so Cricketune. So we've talked a little bit about Cricketune. Or have we talked about Cricketot and Cricketune? I don't remember. But here is something very interesting that I learned about Cricketune this week. Cricketune is the weakest fully evolved Pokemon in the game. So the only Pokemon that comes close to it is Shedinja because it has the one HP, but HP is not included as a core stat when, you know, calculating when you like do your fully evolved like stat numbers and stuff like that. HP isn't included in that calculation. So Cricketune is actually the weakest fully evolved Pokemon in the franchise since Gen 7.
Wow.
So, you know, pretty hilarious. Weak Pokemon. And
that's a shame.
Yeah.
Do you think the bug Pokemon like swarm?
They have to.
They have
to. It's the only way they can survive. Like Cricketune's so weak, like a stiff wind. Like, you know, can you just imagine? Like, so you're a Gen 4 player. You know, you decide that like you like violins, and you decide that Cricketune's going to be your partner Pokemon for this playthrough, and then you can't figure out why you can't beat any freaking bosses, despite the fact that you have like a level 100 Cricketune. And the reason why is because it just sucks so much. Yeah, but no, the bugs 100% swarm. Can you just imagine though, like a swarm of Cricketunes like descending?
But that's what I mean. Like that sound, that like that's terrifying.
There's a bunch of violin like things with like, and they have blades, like, you know, so they're like praying mantises. Like, right. So there's a bunch. The only good thing is apparently the blades are blunt and they don't know how to use them because they're so weak. But, you know, can you just imagine, like, you know, you go outside and there's just a swarm of Cricketune like descending, and then they like land on like your apple tree and they're trying desperately to like knock off the apples, but they can't because they have like these blunt blades and they don't know how to use them and they're so weak. And so they're just kind of like sticking there like stink bugs.
I think that's the other thing too, right? Like, but also like, so does that mean Scythers swarm? Because that's even more terrifying, you because know, they're bigger than most humans.
Yeah. Scyther, and those things got sharp blades.
Right? Because you're like, if there was a swarm of Scyther flying overhead, like that's blocking out the sun.
It's not only like blocking over the sun, blocking out the sun. That's a population loss. Like, you know, just like, oh God, it's descending upon that city. Like you got 5 minutes to evacuate and hopefully they aren't frenzied for some reason.
Scyther is a Pokemon that I wish got like one small, like I wish like a Pokemon evolved into Scyther. Like had one like.
What? Oh, you like, you want a Pokemon. You want a pre-evolved form.
I want a pre-evolved form of Scyther.
Okay. Yeah. No, that would make sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Scyther,
I just need something to help, because I have to imagine that these things pop out of eggs, right? And so, like, how big? Like the thing, like how big Scyther eggs need to be?
Yeah, I mean, because Scythers. Let's see.
On the flip side, are there such thing as baby Scythers? Maybe start smaller and then they grow into their full size. God,
Scyther is almost 5 freaking feet tall.
Have you ever seen baby praying mantises?
Yeah, they're very tiny.
Oh, yeah. So for our garden, Mal gets a bunch of praying mantis eggs, basically. Mm-hmm. And we put them in a jar and then they like explode. And there's a million little tiny, 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 tiny baby praying mantises in there. And then we release them into our garden and hope, you know, in whatever. Like, it is wild how tiny they are. So that's what makes Scyther. And I mean, look, a full grown praying mantis gets pretty big. And that is scary in and of itself. But, you know, you get a 5'10" Scyther walking around, that's unsettling.
Yeah, just massive eggs just hiding in the forest. It was absolutely disgusting.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for us this week. We hope you had a good time.
I had a great time.
Yeah, I had a pretty good time. This was a good one. Look, like we said, this is just the countdown to Pokemon Day. These are the kinds of shows you're going to get for the next couple of weeks.
It is both the blessing and the bane of being at such a focused podcast. You know, we don't have, you know, like the latest Marvel movie to talk about.
You want to talk about the Deadpool 3 trailer? Great, let's go.
Yeah.
Well, no, actually, look, I guess what? When Pokemon Day is the 20th?
27th.
27th. So it's 2 weeks.
We got 2 weeks. That's all we have to do. You got one more of these.
We just got
to
get through one more.
One more, and hopefully we know.
If not a mini, then we'll just do the full show on Tuesday. It'll just be a breakdown on Tuesday.
So. Yeah.
We'll see. We'll figure it out. Either way, you're going to get a show that week. You're going to get a show on Pokemon Day. Whether or not you get a show the day before, we'll have to figure out. So that's going to do it for us this week. Thank you, everyone. We appreciate it. Let Megan know you missed her at Megan Peter CB over on X or Twitter or whatever you want to call it. And like I said, make sure you get in on the Discord. Look, come Pokemon Day, that Discord is going to be popping. So find the link in our show description, in the episode description, and over at Pokemon Pod CB over on Twitter. You can find me at Jim Viscardi. Christian is at C Hoffer C Bus. We'll catch you next week. One more. Until Pokemon Day. See you later, folks.